It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, September 20th, 2021. We have 23 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through late Monday night. That means winds of 20 to 34 knots are possible, and seas 10 feet or higher are possible, and that's about where they are right now. South winds 5 to 10 knots today, wind waves from the south 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 10 feet high at about 12 seconds apart. And that means our swell heights have about doubled since all this weather arrived. And that's just kind of gives you an idea of how the wind whips up the waves. There's a direct correlation between that as the wind blows over the what's called the fetch, the open stretch of ocean there. The longer it blows and the harder it blows, the higher the waves get. So we start seeing that at this time of year. It's our fall weather pattern. We have 7 inbounders. We have 9 in our Astoria anchorage. And we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Antares Leader. She's a car carrier with brand new Subarus on board. She will pass Astoria about 8:30 this morning, and she will head up to Vancouver. It'll take her about 6 hours to get there. The Canadian Bulker is arriving from Mexico. Will probably pass Astoria inbound around 9:30 and stop in the Astoria anchorage there around that time. And the Anzac Wyoming is a bulk carrier coming in to pick up soda ash at the Port of Portland, arriving from Japan. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m. You might see her in Portland by about 3:30 this afternoon. And the cable ship Decisive is coming in at about 1:30 p.m. She will be arriving at the Port of Astoria docks there, and she is one of those telecommunications cable ships that install and maintain internet cables on the ocean floor. Well, today I'm sharing, with his permission, an historical account from Long Beach Peninsula historian Frank Lane, a story that he wrote and posted on Facebook this weekend. Frank is well known locally for his Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook page, which is a great resource for historical information and just great info about the peninsula and the region in general. So if you're on Facebook, I highly recommend that you like that page. You'll learn quite a bit. Frank often posts about maritime history, and sometimes I ask his permission to share some of it with you on the Ship Report here. So that's what I'm doing today. The story is about a famous ship that wrecked on the Columbia River Bar. That's the area right at the mouth of the river between the jetties in the mid-1800s. And it shows so much about the circumstances here that caused this area to be called the Graveyard of the Pacific. And some of those dangers remain today, despite the advances in technology that we have now. So let me read you Frank's account of the sinking of the cargo ship, the Oriole. On September 18th, 1853, that's 168 years ago, Saturday, the American bark Oriole arrived off the mouth of the Columbia River. Under the command of Captain Lewis Lentz, she carried building materials, machinery, and work crews for construction of the recently approved Cape Disappointment Lighthouse, which was obviously not built yet. Even the North Head Lighthouse was not built until 1898, so there were no lighthouses here. So very different from the things that we sort of take for granted now, some of them. The vessel signaled for a bar pilot to take her across the treacherous Columbia River Bar, and none other than Captain George Flavelle came alongside to take command of the bark, and as it turned out, they were very fortunate to have him as their pilot. The going was slow due to a strong southwest breeze, but 2 hours later, the wind suddenly died, and the ship was dragged across the channel, striking the south sands in 17 feet of water. The outgoing tide dragged her seaward, constantly banging her against the sand. Her rudder was dislodged, and water began pouring through her seams. Her heavy cargo sank her deeper into the sands until the order was given to abandon ship. The Oriole's captain was the last to leave his doomed ship. That's a long-standing maritime tradition that the captain is the last one to leave. And as he jumped into a lifeboat, the bark drifted off the spit, turned over on her beam ends, filled with water, and sank, leaving only a massive whirlpool. A whirlpool is very dangerous because it can suck other people and objects and even lifeboats down with it, but they escaped that. And that expression, on her beam ends, is a general term for just a ship just being in really big trouble and sinking. But in this case, the beam, the sides, the ship rolled over on her side so far that the water just started pouring in and she sank. Captain Flavelle ordered the lifeboats chained together, which is a very important point here, very, very good thinking on his part, so that they would not lose each other as night fell, so they all stayed together. The 32 survivors nearly froze as they bounced around on the water. The following morning, the survivors were spotted by the crew of the pilot schooner California and were brought safely to Astoria. The lighthouse at Cape Dee was finally completed in 1856, situated 220 feet above the water. Had it not been for the disaster of the Oriole, the Cape Dee light would be the oldest continuously operating lighthouse on the West Coast. That distinction goes to the Point Pinos light in California, which has been in service since 1855. And that is from a Facebook post posted this weekend on the anniversary of the sinking of the sailing cargo ship Oriole on the Columbia River Bar. And that's from local historian Frank Lane. So a few things about this that I wanted to share and draw your attention to, some comparisons between then and now. At the time of this wreck, there were bar pilots, as there are now, maritime professionals who assist ships coming in and out of the river. In this case, the famous Captain George Flavelle was the pilot. His home is now a museum here in Astoria. This cargo ship was a sailing ship and relied solely on the wind. This was during a time when ships were transitioning to engine-powered vessels, but sailing ships still remained in wide use as cargo ships. So at this time, in this time when the Oriole was sailing, there was no GPS, no satellites orbiting the Earth to give us information about position, no detailed nautical charts like we have now to show ships exactly where the safe areas are. There was no dredging yet of the ship channel here as there is now. So the channel was wherever it was, according to the flow of the river. Dredging on the river began in about 1873, so about 20 years after this incident. There were no dams or jetties controlling the flow of the river and the intensity of that flow. The Bonneville Dam, for instance, was completed in 1937, and the jetties began construction in 1885. So in other words, the Columbia River was even more of a wild card for mariners than it is now. And even now, it is a formidable adversary for people in vessels of all sizes, especially in bad weather. A quick reminder that a cubic meter of water weighs about a ton. So with that understanding in our minds, it's not too surprising that a ship could be pummeled to pieces by the surf and the general turbulence on the bar at the mouth of the river. It shows the incredible power of the water, the same substance we drink from glasses and take baths in, and the equally incredible bravery of those people willing to make their living on it. Even today, with all of our high-tech equipment, the U.S. Coast Guard conducts more than 300 rescues a year right here in our region. So that's about a rescue a day year-round. There's lots of courage quietly on display in our region daily between the U.S. Coast Guard, fishermen, marine pilots, cargo ship crews, tugboat crews, and many others who work on the water. Most of it is invisible to us on land, although we might notice a ship or a tug go by or a helicopter overhead. So as I do frequently, let me salute all those people who make their living on the water here and everywhere. It's pretty brave stuff. And thanks again to local historian Frank Lane for the story you heard today. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.